Good morning. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have John and Sandy McDonald in, the owners of Ralph's Donut Shop. This has been a long time coming. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having
me. I have wanted you guys to be in the studio for, I feel like you're Sandy. I've been stalking you a little bit.
It's been a while.
So how long have you guys been the owners? Ralph's has been in existence for over 60 years. And you guys took over in
2020,
which was, you know, the world fell apart.
Yeah.
Such an iconic year for everyone. And Ralph's had been for sale for a little bit. They were looking for an owner to pass over. Are you guys the second owners of Ralph's?
We are. We are the only people outside of the immediate family who have ever been a part of the donut shop.
So what made you decide to buy a donut shop? And like an iconic, really, you know,
some big shoes to fill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was all her idea.
He just went along with the ride.
Pretty much. Well, I had seen that it was for sale on Facebook and I had no idea. And so I called him and I said, hey, babe, you know, this, I saw Rouse is for sale. And he said, yeah, it's been for sale for a couple years. And I was like, we should look into that. Because he is just such a people person, I thought this is right up his alley.
What were you doing before, job-wise, career-wise, before owning a donut shop?
We were building pipelines.
So, not a people person kind of thing.
No. So I was working in a oil and gas industry, so I would hire everyone around a bunch of rough guys,
yeah.
Really rough exterior, you know, but I worked for this company for 15 years out of Houston, Texas. Absolutely love my job. But we traveled extensively with that and we have two littles. And so it just got to a point to where we weren't going to be able to do that anymore. And we were looking for something to do. Like I never said to John, I want you to leave your career that is all you've ever known. But in my heart, I really wanted to. And so when I saw that Ralph's was for sale, I thought, well, this would be maybe a little bit of a motivation because it would be something that he's good at. And never did I think that he would really look into it.
So she comes to you with this idea and says, hey, let's own Ralph's, which is, you know, I'm going to probably say this a lot of times, an iconic. It has such a historical, I feel like it's almost as big as the Cream City sign for this community. And what's your thoughts?
She's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to leave the comfort zone. 32 years of having it pretty good. And I think I told her no on several occasions.
And did you have a business sense before this? Did you run things yourselves at any points? Or were you always working for the man, if you will?
Well, I was the office manager in my job, in my role, and John was a boss also out there. So he really got to play a lot on his natural gifts and talents. He's a natural leader. He's an excellent teacher. I'm just a good helper. Like, I don't want to be the boss.
He's shaking his head. She's the boss at home, huh?
She's not giving herself enough credit.
Yeah.
But I would say that those skills really set him up for leadership of Ralph's. But his mother was also a business owner, so he grew up working at her small business. And so I think that that gave him a lot of experience. And we don't really like working for other people either.
Yeah. I think most people kind of like that free... It's flexibility. I was going to say freedom, but owning a small business is not always as free as you think it is. There's a lot of work, a lot of late nights, a lot of early mornings. I mean, what time, John, did you go into the store this morning?
2:35.
Oh, my gosh. That's
running late.
They're running late at 2:35. That's not even morning. That's the middle of the night.
Exactly.
And so I'm sure that's been an adjustment for just your family in general of adjusting to kind of that schedule. And how has that panned out for you guys? How have you felt over the last 4 years?
Well, it hasn't been that way the whole time. And we went into this knowing that there would be seasons and times where we would have to give a lot more than we were getting. And so the first 3 years, it was better. But recently things has gotten hard with labor. And so John has had to pick up the slack, and that does affect the home. It affects, you know, me. It's hard on our kids. You know, it's a sacrifice that we make as a family, but we just stay committed to the task and know that in the future, this is going to pay off, or that our hard work is.
So do you think that you would have tried to buy any other business, or was it specifically Ralph's that kind of pulled you into buying?
I don't know.
I would say any business.
You were interested in entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah.
Did it feel heavier to be a 60-year-old business in Cookeville where, I mean, I've heard statistics that like Ralph's is a top 10 donut place, at least in the state of Tennessee, if not a nationwide mm-hmm. ranking. Is that true?
That is true. So actually last March, I had someone email me a link, and it was to Newsweek magazine, and it said that we were the top donut shop in the state of Tennessee. And I'm like, wait, hold on. We didn't even enter like a contest. How is this even possible?
Yeah.
And we were on there. And so like things like that have just happened. And to answer your question, I did feel a whole lot of pressure to fill those shoes, but we were very intentional about coming in and not changing anything. And despite what people say on Facebook, we paid way too much of a price to change any of the recipes that we purchased. So nothing has changed. Even we inherited employees that have been there for how long, John?
Oh, I think we've got one that's working on 15 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So people really believe in the brand, in the company of what you're doing. So day one comes in, and you walk into this donut shop that still kind of looks like it's from the 40s or 50s, 60s, maybe. Yeah. You know, it's got that coffee counter where the retired older men can come in, or maybe there's women. I think it's a lot of times retired men are sitting in there drinking their coffee in the morning. I mean, I'm sure you have regulars that come in nearly every day.
Every day.
Twice a day.
Yeah.
Sometimes three times a day.
I mean, was that just enormous weight on you, or were you just so excited that day one?
I was probably overwhelmed day one. John hadn't made it home yet. So I ran Ralph's by myself for the first 5 months.
About 5 months.
And so that was through, that was in January 2020. Then we had the tornadoes, and then we had COVID, and then John came home. So he kind of got easy street.
Yeah.
But I would say that first day, I was so overwhelmed by the community and how many people came out to support us. But the regulars were very weary of me. They did not, you know, give me an automatic pass. They watched me and they just listened. And before I got the stamp of approval.
Yeah, which I think is kind of good, you know, that people are so loyal to the brand itself that it's like, okay, well, we want to vet these new people, and we want to make sure that they're not going to come in and change recipes and change the service and change the coffee and change even just the layout of the place.
Yeah.
And so keeping that staple the way it was intended, I think, is probably what people really love about what you guys have done in the last 4 years. So you keep things the same. John comes home, COVID hits, and which was a scary time for any business owner. I mean, it was a scary time for a lot of people, but it was definitely a scary time for business owners. And so you shared a story with me a couple weeks ago about just kind of praying that that you weren't risking all this for nothing, that it wasn't all going to crumble down. And you were out with maybe a family for a dinner. Is that?
Yeah.
You tell the story.
So this was during COVID, and I had been over at my sister's house, and I needed to swing by Ralph's on my way home. It was a Saturday night, and I got to the stoplight right in front of Spring Street, and there were red lights, there were cars backed up. And I'm like, what? What's going on? And so then I just took that little side road to go behind, and all of those cars were waiting to come through Ralph's drive-thru. And I just started crying because I was so humbled at the support of everyone and just how God provides for us. And I would say that that has been the biggest factor of all of this, is that whenever you seek Him and that you really yield your will to Him, He puts things that look impossible into your life, but He makes a way. And I wish I could say that John is just a genius when it comes to leadership and I'm just a master marketer, but that's not it.
Not even close. At least on my end.
She's a master marketer, yes. But you're not a master leader.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to steer the ship, right? So,
yeah.
So you've been doing okay in the last 4 years. Even, have you seen growth? Have you been able to grow things or do things as much as you want to keep things the same? You do want your own spin on it.
For sure.
You want people to know that this is your business and this is your baby, you know, third baby out there.
Yes, for sure. Like I have big ideas. Whenever we bought the place, I wrote down goals for 1 year, 5 year, and 10 year, and some of our 5 year goals are already completed. Mm-hmm. And that was not even super intentional. But I think when you are intentional as a person and as a business owner of setting those things out, you put that out there and, you know, it just, you know, you work towards those. And,
And putting pen to paper and having them written down and knowing, okay, this is the direction we're going in, is usually really helpful. We're going to talk about your goals in just a second. Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have John and Sandy McDonald in from Ralph's Donut Shop. So goals that you've been setting, what kind of goals did you, for five-year goals, which, you know, you didn't have your own business experience to even know kind of what goals to set sometimes?
Not at all.
Or what would be achievable?
Yeah, so I would say none of mine were financial. Mm-hmm. They were all community-centered or people-centered. So we plan on having a donut truck. We have that. It's in the works right now. We've had it for about a year. We're just waiting on a couple of the finishing touches to get done with that. And our heart is, you know, like times of, you know, when the tornado happened, I remember John, I called him and I said, you have got to come home because I am giving everything away. We're going to have nothing left. But, I mean, there was just so much need. And mm-hmm. So when I see a need, I think it's just naturally my personality to just want to help. So that's a goal of ours with the donut truck, is that we could be a blessing to people in situations like that, or to have a presence where, babe?
Well, and you're also in involved with some of the sponsorships of schools. And I mean, I see a Ralph sign on, I feel like, almost every ball field around town. And was that already in place before you guys took over? Or was that something that was that kind of part of your goals and your 5 year mission plan?
No. Well, we made a decision early on, schools, kids, sports. We decided that, you know, no advertising, no nothing like that. So those banners with the kids, the sports, that's about as close as that gets. But mm-hmm. the kids and the sports, that's kind of a big
important
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's on my list to do a scholarship. I would like to do a scholarship for either employees that work for us, because we have a lot of high school and college employees. Mm-hmm. So I would like to do a scholarship for them. I've been in touch with Tech, but there's a couple things that is a little difficult to do there. But I would like to do that in honor of my daughter. She has some learning difficulties. And so I want to highlight those, because not everyone is the same. Mm-hmm. And I have a son, and he's 7, and he works really hard when he comes up to Ralph's. And then I have a daughter who is totally different. And knowing them and loving them and supporting them individually is important to me. And they learn different and they communicate differently. And so I want to make that available to other people who aren't just like excellent in the classroom.
Well, and so it's part of your mission is to have Ralph's be a staple in the community as a business, but then also know that you're giving back and people have supported that as well. So you mentioned that when you, there was a press release that you guys were the new owners, people were just swarming in the doors and just really wanted to support what you were doing. But I think also you think of the events that happen in your life that you have donuts for, and some of those big moments you want to have, you celebrate with food. Food's an important part. And so Ralph's is a staple in those important moments. I think I had shared with you, one of my friends had a friend that passed away, and I said, what can I do? I'll bring you any. And she said, she wanted two Ralph's donuts, and I brought them, and she didn't even want to see me. I just dropped them off at her door, and that was her comfort food in that moment. And so birthdays, weddings, celebrations, we a lot of times will drive across, we live all the way in Allgood, and we'll drive across town before school, the first day of school or birthdays, and have a donut before we go to school sometimes. So you guys get to be a part of all those moments.
We do. And we take that very seriously. You know, like I love that we get to hold people's hearts in those moments together, from engagements to, I think John had sent donuts to you. Was it Utah where you got a phone call from somebody? They were their parent was sick.
I have mailed a few donuts here and there
for
various reasons.
Yeah, so. When people just know that it's like that's comfort that thing that they need, and you get to be a part of those moments. Mm-hmm. Is that a secondary bonus to running the business that you probably didn't think was possible or didn't realize how much that would be impactful?
I don't know if it's secondary. I think it's
hand in hand
in the front row.
Yeah.
It does warm your heart.
Yeah.
It makes it worth it.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you started at 2:35 this morning and you were late. So how many donuts are you frying? You said frying each day is the volume that you put out there. Any idea of how many donuts that you go through on an average day?
I'm going to guess a couple hundred dozen, probably 300 dozen.
Oh, my gosh.
I think
an average day. Mm-hmm. That is crazy.
Yeah, our biggest day, I think we did, was it 12 or 1,400 dozen?
One thing that I think is interesting is that I think people, you know how people, the tissue Kleenex thing where people will call it a Kleenex, but that's a brand. My kids will say, can we get Ralph's? And I think that they just think of that as donuts.
That's funny.
it's kind of that same thing where it's just Ralph's means donuts. Mm-hmm. Who is Ralph? Do we know who Ralph is?
Yes, Where's... Ralph Smith.
Okay.
It was Ralph and Evelyn Smith. Ralph was in the Army, I believe. Came back, had a few jobs here and there. Ended up going up to Circleville, Ohio, where his brother-in-law taught him how to make a donut. He came back. He opened up Ralph's. He hired a man by the name of Dallas Frazier. Dallas came on board and pretty much came up with the recipe as to what we have today.
Was it in that location? Is that the only location Ralph's has ever been in?
Yes.
Yep. On Cedar, South Cedar, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah. So he starts this donut shop, which there was probably nothing around. Do you have pictures? Do you know what was around that area at that time?
Yes. Yeah,
so industrial, right? The Wilson building.
Well, it was before that. It started out as Grover Grogan's grocery store. It became the Trailways bus station after that. And then in the fall of 62, give or take, it became Ralph's Donuts. So back in the Grogan grocery store days, Frank had a barbershop next door, and we have some pictures of that. There was a feed mill, I believe, if you're looking at the building to the right of it. There was like lumber sawmill around it, and which eventually became, it was stone lumber, and then it became what it's no longer now, but so it's always had some sort of lumber.
So it was an industrial area that he chose. He's like, yeah, that's it. I'm good. And do you think it was workers coming over on their breaks that were getting donuts at that time?
And, that'd be a smart business move.
Yeah. Where, I mean, people are, you know, probably in the 60s, having a smoke and eating their donut was probably, and having and coffee. Yeah, that was probably kind of the thing to do.
Yeah, I think that area was kind of ground central. There was a lot of traffic through there for downtown before things spread out further.
Yeah, and now it's such a hub. We can't imagine probably it any differently. And I was just talking to the owner of the French Cookie, and I said, "There's just so many. There are so many places for sweet treats in town, and on the West Side. But there's a place for everyone. It's a different customer base that are going to buy a French Cookie that might buy a donut, and it's just I love the collaboration that we've seen in the growth of the downtown area. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I am Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry, and I have John and Sandy McDonald in from Ralph's Donut Shop here in Cookeville, 60 plus years in existence. What year did it open?
62.
So we're at 62 years now. That is insane. And you get to be a part of something so amazing, and you get to run it now. So you did not have experience with donuts, except eating them, not making them or having, I mean, maybe you probably watched Mr. Rogers as a kid, and Mr. Rogers probably took you to a, you know, showed you how to make donuts as a kid. What have you learned in the last 4 years of kind of the process and all the things?
I've learned a lot.
Yeah. Probably he corrects still me in the kitchen enough. A little bit.
Did you ever, did 10-year-old John think that he would ever be making donuts or?
Absolutely not.
Do you think that you, this is like a childhood dream, like come true? Like, oh, I get to make 300 dozen donuts a day.
Childhood dream, I don't know. Eating them, you know, but I don't know about making them.
Yeah, you probably don't even like to eat them as much as you used to anymore because they're just there all the time. I mean, we have donuts right now in the studio, and I'm like, oh, this is smelling so good. But to you, it's probably just natural. Like
I probably just as many today as I did 4 years ago.
So tell me about the process of making a donut. How much? So one donut. Let's talk about the butter twists because those are like the. I feel like that's the iconic Ralph's donut. So what's the process like? How long does it take? How long does it?
From start to finish, you're looking at about 2 hours.
That's a long time.
Mm-hmm. And there's really no speeding it up. You can a little bit, but there's just no speeding it up.
And I feel like your prices are still pretty. Kind of 1960s prices.
Yes.
You haven't had this huge increase in prices that you would think you have to with the economy. Is that, I mean, I'm guessing that's a conscious decision on your part. Do you have debates in the house of what to do with that?
No.
No. But I mean, since COVID, I have seen things go up dramatically. And
cost of goods.
Yes.
Yeah. Cost of
extremely. Like almost triple the price, and we haven't we've raised prices one time, and I think it was like what 10 cents maybe 15 max.
No, it was more than that,
but it's still it's around still, the, like it's still
it wasn't much.
I mean, every time I go in, I want to say I bought 2 dozen donuts and it was like $25-$30, and I'm like
$25-$50.
There you go. yeah I took him to my daughter's class the other day, and I'm like, how is this still in the climate we live in and all that? It's still, like I said, you know, even if you increase prices 50 cents, it's still not over the top of of keeping up with the Joneses, I feel like. And so how are you able to stick with that? It's just important.
I would say probably, yeah, it's important. John's very conscious about that. He is intentional on, you know, what we provide to the community, but also doing a lot of the work ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, he is a workhorse, so I would say that's probably.
But at the moment, this is your full-time gig. This is, you don't have other income. This is your full-time thing.
This is it.
Yeah, and so it's working for you. So the butter twists take
About 2 hours.
And then does that include making the
glaze
for it too?
The glaze is already made.
Okay.
Yep. It's kind of sitting there all day. We just keep adding to
it. And that's ready to go. What is, I assume that's your number one seller, but is that?
Yes, the butter twist is our number one seller.
And then my favorite is the red velvet. How do you make donuts so moist that are not like cakey? They don't, it's so different.
We use good products. I'm very, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah.
So this was a great donut before. And it's a great donut now because we've not changed anything.
Have you had to learn where to source the ingredients from? Because I'm sure it since 1962, there's the suppliers are not all the same anymore.
We've had a few ups and downs with that, but I remember the first one was the cream cheese that goes on that red velvet, and I just ran out, as opposed to finding something else that was maybe close, maybe not. I said, we'll just wait for it to get back in stock. And then, because I mean, we're not changing anything.
Yeah.
And so, it does take some planning. There's times where you have to look ahead, buy ahead. You see this coming. Sometimes you don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm guessing that's been a learning curve for you as well of just trying to figure that out. So before we run out of time, I want to talk a little bit about the craze of your cookies. So as a donut shop, you wouldn't think that there would be such a craze for the cookies, but there is.
There is.
It's madness. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I mean, so if you haven't had, they were originally Ralph's Christmas cookies and they're made with the glaze from the butter twist, right?
Nope. No.
I've been telling people this the whole time.
There's a secret ingredient that we add to it, but it's not the glaze.
Oh my goodness. Yeah,
there
is
a super secret ingredient.
So there's something, they're like sugar cookies with some sort of glaze type substance and then sprinkles on them. And that for 4 or 5 years towards the end of the other ownership, they stopped making them. And they, at the time, they only made them at Christmas time.
Yep.
And you guys have made them, you now make them twice a year, is that correct?
The month of December.
Uh-huh.
And the week of Valentine's, the week of 4th of July.
Oh, yeah. Valentine's, I forget. I usually try and get people to send me cookies for Valentine's. Is that why they're so good? Is because they're scarce? What do you think that the craze, why is the craze part of this?
I think both. I have never been a sugar cookie fan. Mm-hmm. And when I tried it, I was like, these really are good.
Mm-hmm.
And I prefer mine with just the straight cookie, no sprinkles, no nothing.
They're I didn't so know that was good. An option.
Well, if you own the donut shop, it is.
Yeah, we've got options.
I know somebody.
you know a guy.
But I would say part of just the appeal of those are that, you know, they are unlimited. We make them in limited quantities just because they are so labor intensive. So during those times, it takes a whole lot of work to put those out.
How long do the cookies take to make?
We start probably about 7 in the morning and the cookie is done. Well, baking it is not, but icing it is, that's what's really labor intensive. So the cookie probably comes out at 3-4 in the afternoon.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a long time. And they sell out, I feel like, almost every day once you start selling.
We go through a lot of them.
So I'm going to throw myself under the bus here. After Ralph's wasn't making cookies for so long, BJ Sullivan had posted that he had exclusive early entry into the cookies. And I was like, who do you know? I went to Ralph's that day. I tried to get some. They said, we're not selling them yet. And I was so disappointed. And then you had walked into the Biz Foundry. And the Biz Foundry is a long, skinny building. And I was at the other end. But I could tell the box that you were holding was a Ralph's box. I just knew it. And I said, those are Ralph's cookies. I mean, I'm sure that you had that reaction a ton that year.
A couple of times.
And it feels so good.
It does.
You know, it feels so good to do that.
To be a part, like to know that it's that I
people are excited.
Iconic, like yeah. I mean, even to the boxes that you use are people just know it.
Yeah,
and people know. I mean, people will know where that donut is from when they're eating it at places. If you put it out to display, you don't necessarily have to see the white box. You just know where they're from, and you can tell by the taste testing.
Yeah,
there's something to be said about seeing that smile on somebody's face. And
yeah,
know that. That's the right gift.
Probably a little bit more than pipeline lane.
Yeah.
A little bit more smiles here. Where do you guys see things going in the next 5 to 10 years?
Who knows?
Oh, I got big dreams.
Oh, big. So yeah. We're going to have a donut truck going around town at different places.
We'll have a donut truck, yep.
Oh my gosh, it could be like the rewards for, different field days and stuff at all the schools. I know that's
sky's the limit.
Something that's close to your heart. So you can't move the location.
Never.
That's going to be...
Never.
Yeah.
And we're so limited on what we can do. I would love to just like really expand this, but we're kind of blocked in with the property that we have. So I just have to get creative, but I do have a lot of ideas of ways that I want to be a bigger presence in the community and just kind of bringing it up to the 21st century, still keep... pay homage to, our roots, but also bring it to 2024.
Well, and I think that's, again, what makes Ralph's so impactful in this community is that it's 62 years strong. There's not very many small businesses that have been able to make it that long. You see businesses a lot within the first 6 to 12, 18 months that go under. And especially on the West Side, you see everybody thinks, oh, I'm just going to open this business, open the shop, and then it closes. And to stay a part of this community for that long and for you guys to be a part of that, and only the second owner, but the first non-family owners in the community is pretty big.
Yeah.
Not to put some, heavy weight on your shoulders or anything. Any other plans that you want to share with us before we wrap up?
No. Nah.
So how can people find you? How do they follow you on social media?
We're on all the social media platforms, and we have a website that's in the works right now. And
so it's ralphsdonutshop.com. And that's where you can follow them on social media, see where all the
merch
and when the cookies are coming out. So hopefully we're going to have 4th of July. We heard it. Heard it here first. Okay. So in a month or so, we'll have 4th of July cookies coming out. And I just appreciate you guys coming in today. John and Sandy McDonald with Ralph's Donut Shop. I'm just so excited for you guys. And to see that this staple in the community has stayed, I think that was a little fear that people had that Ralph's would close and we wouldn't have that anymore. And so I'm glad that you guys were able to step in and save the day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.